Just before I begin, just to say to people, there's a load of pagan festival cards at the back, have been written by people for people. You'll find that none of them are for me. Christmas cards, better known as. We had to move them, they were all set out all nicely for people, but we shifted them because they were in the road of Tom's video recorder. So they're at the back. Please don't leave without them, because someone has made the effort to get you a card and write your name on it and stuff. So let's just pray for God's word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning again for that wonderful opportunity to worship you and to enjoy communion. And Lord, communion means koinonia, sweet fellowship with you. And part of that fellowship this morning is as we humble ourselves under your word, that you might speak to us, please. We pray, Father, that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word, and open our ears to hear your voice speaking to us this morning, whether we're here in the hall, whether it's people watching live on Facebook, or whether it's people listening into the podcast. We just ask, Lord, please, that your word would do its work, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, Keith spoke about Mary and Joseph traveling 90 miles from Nazareth up to Bethlehem to be registered in the census in accordance with the command of Caesar Augustus. And censuses were not new things, just as they're not new things here. Every 10 years in the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and Northern Ireland, you have to complete a census. You get a £1,000 fine if you don't complete your census form. And basically all it is was to get an idea of the numbers of people, the population, and of course for the tax man to be able to get his arm into you and find out how many people should be paying taxes and stuff like that. And Caesar Augustus had issued this decree that everybody had to be registered. And what you had to do in the days of Mary and Joseph was you had to go to your hometown. You had to go back there and basically stay until you were registered, and then you could go to wherever it was that you had to go. There was no postal registrations in those days. And so Mary, who was heavily pregnant at this time, had to travel up with Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a 90-mile journey over some quite rough terrain. There wasn't motorways and all of those things in those days. And it was here in Bethlehem that Mary would give birth to Jesus. As I said in the declaration, it just says it, and she brought forth her firstborn son. But Keith rightly said, the Bible doesn't seem, and I emphasize this, it doesn't seem to give any indication that Joseph or Mary had relatives living in Bethlehem. Because we're led to believe that when they arrived, they allegedly had nowhere to stay. And we all probably learned this at school. Mary coming behind as Joseph's walking with the rope and the donkey, and there's Mary sitting on it. And they come into Bethlehem, desperate to find somewhere to live, run about knocking all the doors to see if anybody would put them up. They couldn't find anywhere to stay. And only the kindness of a local innkeeper, basically means a pub landlord, the kindness of a local innkeeper granted them a stable where they could rest and where Mary could give birth to Jesus. Now, didn't we all learn that like that in school? And even some of us, you know, could have been in the nativity play. I was a shepherd, not a very good one, but I was a shepherd. I was also the backside of a donkey. On one occasion, people said, you're still a bit of an ass, but still. But, you know, I hold a slightly different view. You see, I believe there's a possibility that Joseph and Mary did have family and close friends living in Bethlehem. This was Joseph's hometown. And when they arrived, I believe, now you can search the scriptures and try and find things for yourself, but I believe they went to a relative's or to a friend's home and they took them in. Now, I checked again this week to see what I'm about to say is correct. So I checked it again and again to make sure, and if you want to, you can go and check this as well. But I believe there is the possibility that when Joseph and Mary arrived in Bethlehem, they went to a family member or a close friend's home and they took them in. And the reason why I say that is, in Strong's Concordance, this is a big flashy book where you can look at all the Hebrew words and you can look at all the Greek words as they were originally written, and it's all done in English in letters and numbers to show you how to find it. It's written for thick people like me, how to understand things. But in Strong's Concordance, the Greek word used for inn, no room in the inn, is kataluma. And it can be translated lodging place or guest chamber. In other words, when Joseph and Mary came to whoever's house it was in Bethlehem, because everybody had returned to be registered, the place would have been packed, the whole town would have been packed, because everybody came to be registered from right across Israel, the homeowner, whoever's house it was, they were basically saying in our language, it's wonderful to see you, the spare room, the guest chamber is full, but we'll squeeze you in where the animals normally bed down for the winter. So if you'd have walked in through the door of a house in the days of Israel, you'd have walked in through the front door, there would have been a big, what was seen as a living room with a fire and where a lot of cooking and stuff would have been. There would have been a room over to this side where the whole family slept. And over on the other side, there would have been like two wee steps down, and there would have been just this wee area where the animals got brought in the winter time, and they were bedded down there, and there was straw and stuff to keep them there, to keep them alive in the freezing cold winter. And there would have been, in some of these houses, on the back wall, if you'd have looked in through the living room door, or through the front door right into the living room, on the back wall, there would have been a few wee steps up to like a trap door thing that would have opened onto the roof, and the roof would have had a parapet around it, and there would have been like palm branches and stuff like that there at different times of the year. And that was what was known as the inn, as the guest chamber, as the spare room. So when they arrived, I don't believe when Mary and Joseph came in and she was heavily pregnant that they were running about like homeless people looking for somewhere to stay. I believe that they went to a family or a friend, because this was Joseph's hometown. And it was here in this stable area, and I would suggest, just for health and hygiene purposes, that the animals were quite possibly removed and tied up outside for the moment. But it was here where they prepared a place for Mary to be comfortable in preparation for giving birth. I also believe there may well have been female family or friends living or staying there who would have helped Mary deliver her baby. I don't think Mary was there totally dependent on Joseph. But come on, women, like, what use are men when it comes to giving birth? Or as someone said on Wednesday night at the Bible study, maybe if it was a pub and it was a stable out the back and some of the locals who were in having a drink heard that there's a pregnant woman out there, somebody better go out there and bring out the hot water and the towels and whatever else and help. We just don't know, but I'm suggesting it was in a family friend or a family or a friend's home that all of this happened. So in a few simple words, we're told, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. In those few simple words, God's promise from the Garden of Eden that a seed of a woman would come to crush Satan's head, 2,300 to 2,500 years later, Jacob would speak, and God's promise of the seed of a woman would now be given a name. He would be called Shiloh. That he would be born, we hear this some years later from Isaiah, that he would be born of a virgin and his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. And Malachi tells us he would be the messenger of the new covenant. In the few simple words, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, the Son of the Highest, the Son of God, Jesus, was born. Well, we're going to move away from the goings-on in the house in Bethlehem to see how others were informed that God had kept his promise to those who were waiting for the fulfillment of till Shiloh comes. And that's why we also do testimonies. We do testimony nights because it's people telling forth how God keeps his promise. So let's read this morning in Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 20. Pray for Nolene and for Rocky, because they'll be reading this passage tonight between them. We're using the same passage this evening. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20 says this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things that which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told them. See, this is another part of the Christmas story that is subject to much debate. It's a bit like people who grew up believing Adam and Eve ate an apple. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says what fruit they ate of. People grew up believing there were three wise men. There is nothing in the Bible that suggests there was three wise men. And so here's another part of the so-called Christmas story that is subject to much debate. Some scholars say there is no way on this planet that shepherds would be watching their flocks on the hills of Israel on the 25th of December in the absolute freezing cold. Others suggest what Luke writes is correct, and that shepherds may have been minding their flock, but it would have been way further out in the countryside, away from all of the towns or the villages. But it doesn't really matter when the shepherds were in the field. But they were there when suddenly a bright light and the sight of an angel terrified them. "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." That's so important. We just read over it as part of the Christmas story. But listen, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." You see, that includes us. The all people is down through the generations. All of those people who would hear the good news of Jesus, believe it, have their sins forgiven, and know the great joy of what it is to know Jesus and to know your sins forgiven. As I said here in Shiloh about singing songs, we sing songs, song after song after song, because when you know Jesus, you've got something to sing about. It's great joy to know Jesus. Good tidings of great joy. Problem is, sometimes when you look at the Christians at the Northern Bank, and I say this all the time, well, it's not the Northern Bank, it's Danske Bank now. When you look at them, they've got faces like Lurgan Spades. They don't realize that the gospel is good news. Good news to proclaim. Great joy to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David in Bethlehem a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Just a normal night in the fields watching their flock was suddenly dramatically changed. If I had been a shepherd, I would have thought someone had spiked me with acid. Flashing lights, angels, nonsense. I'd have been running about looking for the dealer, saying, "I'll have two more of those." A normal night in the fields, watching their flock, was suddenly, dramatically changed. You know that shepherds were viewed as the local hoods. They were the gypsies. You know, this is desperate. See, when there's gypsies in Kilcooley, and I don't work on Kilcooley anymore. when there's gypsies going around Kilcooley, probably genuinely selling stuff or looking to do genuine work, I get phone calls and text messages. There's gypsies in the estate. There's gypsies. Get them out. They're thieves. They're marking the houses for rough. I mean, not all travellers and gypsies are thieves. Well, here in this day, in the days of Jesus, shepherds were considered the gypsies of the day. They were tea leaves. Everybody said, when you've seen the shepherds coming, lock up your house. I had an aunt, I've told this before, that whenever I walked past her, outside her house or wherever, as soon as she saw me, she actually said to my face, oh goodness, that reminds me, I haven't closed my windows. Well, shepherds were viewed as rough characters and were despised by many people because they were seen as a bunch of thieves and hoods. And yet, they were people that God chose, the despised, the rejected. God chose to send an angel to tell them about the birth of Jesus. It was these despised people that God sent an angel to tell them that the Savior had been born. And when the angel told them where they would find the baby Jesus, suddenly, bad enough, one angel appearing, but suddenly, once he's declared where they would find the baby, there is a whole host of angels appear, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Heaven was rejoicing. This is what's happening here, you see. This wasn't the angels just coming for a bit of a party with the shepherds. This was getting the glimpse into what was going on in heaven. For 4,000 years, the promise of God that the Messiah would come had suddenly happened, and there was rejoicing in heaven. And God opened up heaven briefly for the shepherds to see as they were singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Heaven was rejoicing at the birth of Jesus because this was good news for all people. That means all people right down to 2018 and beyond. The angels couldn't contain themselves for joy. I know people who, when they give their lives to Jesus, couldn't contain themselves for joy. Of knowing the weight of their sin lifted from them. Of knowing that they have been reconciled to God. Knowing that they have everlasting life. Knowing that God will never judge them. That they will never see hell. You can't contain yourself when God does something. God had kept his promise. Shiloh. The one to whom everything rightfully belongs. That's what Shiloh means. The one to whom everything rightfully belongs had arrived. When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds decided to go and check out what they had been told. You see, this is a bit like Mary. God knows that human beings can be a wee bit like planks. And that we allow ourselves to get full of doubt and fears and all of these things. And even Mary, what he had done first was, he had gone to Elizabeth and he told Elizabeth, you and Zacharias are going to have a son, you're going to call him John. Then the angel came to Mary and said to Mary, you're highly favored, blessed of God, you're going to have a wee one, and he's a son of God. And Mary, right? But she accepted it and believed it. But he said about Elizabeth, and your cousin Elizabeth is with child. And as soon as the angel left, Mary went, because all the wee doubts creep in, you see, when the angels and all the wee signs and all of the wee wonders that we look for in life, when they disappear, we need grounding. And Mary remembered, well, you know, you said, my cousin Elizabeth's pregnant. Now, that has to be a miracle because she's well past it. That's what it says. She was well advanced in years. And Mary went, and lo and behold, when she says, hi, Elizabeth, the babe inside Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. There was the proof. And so when the shepherds who were in the fields watching the flock by night saw this first angel telling them the wonderful news that the Savior was born, and then the host of angels singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, they told them where they would find the babe. So as soon as the angels left and the doubts started to come in, they thought, we better go and see. And they went to find the angel. Let's go to see this thing that has come to pass. And with these simple words, this thing that has come to pass, these shepherds had no idea what had come to pass had been promised from the Garden of Eden. Till Shiloh comes. You can hear it in the Garden of Eden. Right down through. Till Shiloh comes to Jacob blessing Judah. Till Shiloh comes. Isaiah the prophet saying the virgin would conceive and bring forth a son and you would call his name Emmanuel. Till Shiloh comes. Malachi speaks of the messenger. The two messengers. The first one being John the Baptist. The second one being the messenger of the covenant. Till Shiloh comes. Till Shiloh comes. And then lo and behold, the birth of Jesus. Down through the generations till Shiloh comes, till Shiloh comes, till Shiloh comes. God is always true to his word. The shepherds found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby Jesus lying in a manger. And guess what? These despised people, these bunch of thieves and hoods, whatever people may have thought of them, they simply believed what they had heard and seen with their own eyes. And they went out and told as many people as they could what had happened. People were amazed. People were absolutely astonished at what the shepherds told them. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, we're told, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, everybody knows, I despise Christmas. I hate it so, so much. But a wee bit like Mary, I still ponder in my heart the birth of Jesus. At this time of the year, with all of the melee of Christmas and the glory to God in the high street, I remember Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How wonderful. Imagine, after all these years, God's promise had come to fruition and his Savior's Son was born. God is always true to his word. We're told the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God. Well, you know, the Christmas story, as we learned, the Christmas story rather, that we learned as children, it probably does have a few add-ons, a bit like Chinese whispers, and people add wee bits to it and whatever else. But the Christmas story that we learned as children, you know, has its add-ons, and, you know, some of them just can't be verified. Was heavily pregnant Mary, a young woman, was Mary and her betrothed Joseph turned away from place after place until a kindly innkeeper, barman, let them use his barn? Was Jesus born in a stable at the back of some pub or a guest house? Was he born on the 25th of December?
No.
You're not supposed to answer. For the purpose of heresy, there'll be a stoning at the end of Nolene. Was he born on the 25th of December? I agree with you, Nolene. No. Were any animals present at his birth? Listen, I love all the carols. As I said, I love carols. I would have us singing carols. I remember the July, and the sun splitting the trees and the heat in here one morning, and we were singing Hark a Herald Angels Sing. and I'm sure all the people down in the park thought, what are they loopers up to? Because they were written for us to learn about the birth of Jesus, about Jesus coming into the world, and that is something to celebrate every day. Because when you know Jesus, you've got something to sing about. And were any animals present? When he said, away in a manger and lowing cattle and all that nonsense. Lovely, lovely, lovely wee song, especially when you hear kids singing it. But do you seriously think for health and safety purposes and hygiene purposes that cows and donkeys and all of those things were right there while Mary was giving birth? In all honesty, none of these questions actually matter. What really matters was Shiloh, Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior and Deliverer, had come into the world to save his people from their sins. The real question is, do we, like the shepherds who were watching their flock by night and given the good news by an angel about the birth of Jesus, and so, you know, they went to see for themselves, do we, like them, simply believe, have faith in the truth of God's word? Generation after generation heard the word of God till Shiloh comes. And in every generation, only a few believed till Shiloh comes. Till Shiloh comes. We who through faith in Jesus truly celebrate the good news of him coming into this world, we are only a few in our generation. Why do you think Shiloh's not packed to capacity every Sunday morning? Because the vast majority of people do not believe. We who through faith in Jesus truly celebrate the good news of him coming into the world, we are only a few in our generation. And yet God declares to us again his promise, till Shiloh comes. Till Shiloh comes. Because this same Jesus, the same Jesus who came the first time and was born a babe in Bethlehem, this same Jesus grew up and went to the cross and died to pay the price for our sin. He was crucified, he was dead, he was laid in a tomb, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, and sometime later he ascended back to his Father in heaven and is currently seated at the Father's right hand. Because this same Jesus who first came into this world to save us, because we believe in him, we hold to the truth till Shiloh comes, that he will return again to take us onto himself. And so we shall be forever with the Lord. There'll be a second stoning after the service for Sandra's phone going off. Let me say that again. If you hear the whisper, till Shiloh comes, there we go. There will be a third stoning. Any more of the Anderson family want their want their phones to go off? There'll be a stoning of Sandra and Jimmy at the end of the service. Till Shiloh comes, till Shiloh comes. Because this same Jesus who came the first time into this world to save us will return again to take us on to himself, and we shall be forever with the Lord. We have the promise of God as Christians. Listen to his voice. Till Shiloh comes, till Jesus comes. Trust in God's promise. He's telling us, I promise you, he's coming back. And he's coming back to take you onto himself. And so this morning, Christian, celebrate the good news that Jesus came into the world to save sinners just like us. But listen again to the voice of God speak as we celebrate this Christmas. What is God saying to you? Till Shiloh comes. Till Shiloh comes. Maybe this morning you're here, you're not yet a Christian, you're watching on Facebook or you're listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me ask you, are you celebrating Christmas? Well, what does that actually mean to you? What does it mean to you if you do not know Jesus? What does it mean to celebrate Christmas? Is it all about glory to the God of the high street? Or glory to God in the highest? The real meaning of Christmas, if I can call it that, is the good news that God sent his Son Jesus into the world to save sinners just like me and you. Will you, like the shepherds, will you simply believe
what God's word says and act upon it? Or will you be lost in the worldliness of Christmas and miss the greatest gift of all? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today, Lord God, that we celebrate Jesus. Lord, it's not our place to know exactly what happened at the birth of Jesus. We're just delighted that he was born into this world. That he came, Lord God, the Son of God, who was without sin, into this world, lived a sinless life, and yet died in our place so that we could be reconciled to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given the promise that whoever believes in you, they will have their sins forgiven. And even if they die, they will live. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us over this Christmas period, Lord, to be filled with Christ and not the worldliness of Christmas. Help us, Lord, in the midst of all of the celebrations and all of the goings on, to hear the voice of God speak till Shiloh comes. Because we know that one day, very soon, Jesus, you're going to return for your people. And so we shall be forever with the Lord. Until then, Lord, may our lives reflect this truth till Shiloh comes. In Jesus' name. Amen.